husband and I have been married for 16 years. Fortunately, there hasn't been like a big event in our marriage that required forgiveness, but on a day-to-day basis, he was really seeing me as the enemy and resenting me.
Well, yeah, we're going to hear the rest of Kendra's story coming up here in just a little bit today as we continue a discussion from earlier on the topic of forgiveness. Dr. Randy here, along with Jennifer and Stephen and our team here at Intentional Living Center, our corporate center, our ministry center, our teaching center in Tucson, Arizona. To you, wherever you're listening, on the radio or around the world online through our podcast as well. We're committed to one thing, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Why? Well, there's really two basic reasons. One is to bring glory to God. And then secondly, it benefits us. I've been around long enough to know when we do the next right one thing, that what honors God, not out of perfection or just out of duty, but out of our love for Him and His intentional love for us, it transforms our life. And forgiveness is one of those areas we're talking about that is so important. All right, let's get to some of the callers who've been standing by to talk to us today. Sarah is first. In Michigan. Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. How has forgiveness made a difference in your life, Sarah?
I feel forgiven in my marriage. My marriage is very solid, very sound. My husband and I have a good relationship, and the problem I'm having is forgiveness with my father. Mm. My father has passed away quite a few years ago, and I keep asking God to forgive me, to forgive him, the way he treated my brother and I.
Yeah.
But, Dr. Randy, I just don't feel forgiven. I don't feel that I forgave my father because I still talk poorly about him and the way we were treated. You know, if I forgave him, I wouldn't talk the way I do. People I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And so you're feeling, if I hear you, it's like I've forgiven him, but then it keeps coming back.
Yeah, it's a guilt trip, I think.
So it's not really so much anger toward him as you're kind of beating yourself up.
No, it's anger towards him, too.
Yeah. But kind of like I should be able to get over this and get on with my life and not have to keep bringing this up.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Jennifer just mentioned to me in my ear here that maybe in the process you've been struggling to forgive yourself. Is that true?
Yes. If I'm honest with myself, yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, God understands. Sarah, but that doesn't change how you feel. But sometimes facts and feelings get confused. The reality is that God forgives you and you can forgive yourself. But that doesn't mean that the emotions are not going to continue to be there. And I wrote in part of one of the books that I co-authored, I talked about the idea of forgiving and forgetting really isn't as much of a reality as it is to forgive and then remember what God has done for us. In other words, it's okay to remember, but when you find yourself starting to beat yourself up or to feel poorly about your dad again, that you turn that to things that you've placed in your mind and your heart, the truth of scripture, memorization, worship is a powerful thing, finding yourself in worship. Maybe even if you're the type of person that doing something, actually having some physical demonstration helps. Have you ever sat down and just written that letter that you wanted to write to your dad, expressing how you were feeling and what you've been through and what forgiveness has meant in your life? And to either read it out loud or afterward burn it or destroy it, but in some way to get it out of your head onto a piece of paper. Is that something you've ever done?
No. And, you know, my children, I took them, he was in the hospital, and I said in front of my children and his new wife, she said, "Do you want me to leave?" And I said, "No, I have nothing to hide." And I said, Dad, I just want to forgive you. I want you to forgive me. And I don't really know what all the problems are or hang-ups, but let's start over. Let's be adult friends.
And what did he say?
He looked at me, and he looked at my two daughters, and he said, I can't do that.
Hmm.
So I mean, this has been years I've been thinking about this, and I don't know what to do.
I am so sorry. As I hear you sharing, because you think about what your dad could have done for himself at that moment, and for you, and for the family, and for the grandkids, and for the future. Words matter. Lack of words matter. I can't simplify what you're experiencing, Sarah, other than to say this was your dad's issue. I mean, it was something he chose not to deal with. I wouldn't be surprised that inside he was dealing with it, but he didn't know how to express it. You take an old man who's lived a whole life in a certain way, and on his deathbed, it's not easy to change. Not easy to change. He is who he is. And our expectations sometimes, when they're not met, create disappointment. And I think, Sarah, as long as you keep your focus on needing your dad's approval, acceptance, forgiveness, it's never going to happen because he's gone. But understand that you've been forgiven by Christ. You've been forgiven by God, that he loves you, that he loves you so much that he's given you eternal forgiveness, that you can live forever with him. And to be able to accept that forgiveness in your life, that's a powerful, powerful thing. Would it be all right, Sarah, if I prayed with you?
Yeah. The one thing my dad did do is he taught my brother and I how not to parent.
Hmm.
And we both have children that are loving and love God.
Yeah.
And I would be very happy to pray with you.
That's good, Sarah. Let me pray with you. And I would encourage you as you proceed, you know, maybe talk to someone about you. Dad's gone. There's things you can do to process. I wouldn't hide that. I'd get with a counselor or pastor and talk about those things. Father, I do pray for Sarah. And I pray for everyone who, like Sarah today, is lingering with things from the past that can weigh them down and weigh them down today, that they would find freedom in you. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, who says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal. You know, whatever we focus on is what takes our attention. Whatever we focus on takes our attention. It's like looking through the lens of your camera. Wherever you face your camera lens, that's what's in focus. And as long as we're focusing on the unmet expectations from another person, the unforgiveness of another person, the hurt from another person, they can still control our lives. We give away that sense of control to them and to that period of our life. And being able to move on, I know, can be difficult, but it's critical. Okay, thank you, Sarah. Let me go to Dana in Georgia. Hi, Dana. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. Talk to me about forgiveness.
I think forgiveness for me is just giving me freedom, because I'm a very forgiving person, and I love Christ, and I know what God did for me. And so I have a number of family members, my husband in particular, one, and he doesn't really let go of things, my children. So in our marriage, I think at the beginning I could be judgmental because I didn't understand how they couldn't forgive. And I think I would kind of impede on their boundaries, if that makes sense. I would be pushing them to forgive. And I finally, you know, went to counseling and prayed about it. So, you know what? I can't control what's in their heart, and just pray for them to have a relationship with God. Because once I let go of that and I just love them unconditionally, I realized that that's what they need from me. They need my love. They need my example. They need the model. And that's what I do now. I'm just patient with my husband. And I feel like for me, I have to forgive every day almost, like with my husband, when he may say something and, you know, we talk about it, and I do my best not to say it in a judgmental way, but also model back how I've forgiven in different ways. And that's how I get through it, that to not judge them. And then I'm now my part of my family, and my family of God. And so that family origin that everyone talks about, you know, yes, there's issues, and but you know what? I can let go of those and forgive them, and it just brings so much peace, and I'm able to really have a good relationship with all my family because of that.
Well, you bring up an important point. Holding a grudge ultimately only hurts ourselves, but when a grudge holder is nearby, it can create tension within the relationship, for sure. But it's a reminder, hey, listen, we can't change another person. We love people for who they are, where they are. Need to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But not holding grudges. All right. Thank you for your call from Georgia today, Dana. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. She reminds us of that power of a grudge. You know, the Bible talks about a bitterness, kind of like a root of bitterness, the Bible says. If you ever planted a seed, you know, it starts its little roots. And that's the problem with holding on to a grudge. It starts to grow and takes its own root system into our system. And boy, it can be so destructive. If you're around people who hold grudges, wow, it's like they're picking offenses. They're looking for things to pick up. Because here's the deal. Once a person has made a decision to hold a grudge against you, they will do everything necessary to defend that grudge. And so, I mean, if you just blink the wrong way, you reinforce legitimacy in their mind of the grudge that they probably know they shouldn't be holding in the first place. It's much like shouldn't say this, but this is much like those of us who try to convince ourselves it's okay to eat another bowl of cereal at 10 o'clock at night. You know, we could come up with the excuse for why we should be able to do that when we shouldn't do that. Hello, Donna, if you're listening. And we do the same thing with grudges. If we hold a grudge against a person, there's not much they can do that's right. And so everything they do is wrong. Do we see that in the political world today? Come on. We see it in America today. We see it in the streets. We see it in our homes and our families. It can be in your church. And so forgiveness certainly is different than holding on to grudge. All right, Annette and Candace, hang on. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back talking about forgiveness today from Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
So we see a guy here, Jonah, who ran from God, hid from God, begged for God's help out of weakness, out of loss, and God out of his graciousness. Here's what we hear next. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. God was giving Jonah a second chance, and he said, arise and go to Nineveh and preach the message that I will tell you. The people will then turn from their sins. He got a second chance and he blew it. He blew it. How did he blow it? Well, he went, but he wasn't happy about it. And I think sometimes God gives us a second chance, and be careful we don't blow it. God gives us a second chance. All right, that's an excerpt from the lesson this month on the topic of being a winner versus a loser in life, comparing, contrasting the life of Nehemiah and Jonah. And it'll be coming out to our members here the next day or two. Very shortly. If you're not a part of the Intentional Living community today, come and join us. Your monthly support really is a big help so we can carry on with what we're doing. And we get to come alongside of you and encourage you with our masterclass teaching and just words of encouragement as well. Thank you for helping us lift this voice every day. Appreciate it. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And click on donate there. Okay, donate, not donate there. It's donate, right? All right. Annette is in Michigan. How you doing, Annette?
I'm good, thank you, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good, good. I know you called about forgiveness. Tell us how it's impacted you.
Yes, sir. The Lord has really taught me a lot through forgiveness, of the power of forgiveness, not only on my life, but for others. And I've learned that, you know, the power of forgiveness isn't really for that person. It's for me, you know, and that my husband was unfaithful about 15 years ago, no, about 20 years ago. The Lord let me know that I was going to stay with him. So that was brutal. For counseling, we went to counseling for, like, it was a 5-year ordeal. We had kids involved and all of that. And I was like, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know, you know. But I had to, you know, get over the fact that I was mad at God and about all of it. And I was a Christian then, too, because I'm a 28-year-old Christian. So I was a Christian then. And then, I've just learned, you know, I had to forgive myself. I had to, like, let God off the hook because I was mad at him. You know, mm-hmm. How could you do this? How could you do that? How? And, you know, and then finally I realized I have to see something. God was showing me something, and I had to see something, and that I wanted to see it quickly so I could get through it.
You didn't want to go through the pain. You wanted to know how to get around all this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And the pain was anguish.
Do you regret? I mean, obviously having to go through it, but do you regret that you made a decision to stay and work through this process?
Yes, I did at one time. I did. I really did. And that was where I was going to. I went to my pastor at the time and I said, look, I can't do this anymore. And he was like, okay, well, you need to give him an ultimatum. And I said, okay. So I followed through, did an ultimatum with him, with my husband. And I said, I am not joking. This is it for me. I'm really done. And, and I was already doing things, putting things in place, like, you know, I got a job and I started doing things like that. And, you know, getting myself in place just in case it didn't work out and I wasn't going to be left without.
So your husband decided at that moment, enough, I want this marriage. I want Annette. I want this to work. And he's changed.
Yes, he did. He really did. And, you know, because I think he thought I meant business. You know, I was like, no, I'm done. You see my face, you know, I'm really done here. And so, you know, one time we went to counseling and it was very interesting because we always went to Christian counselors. And I learned about my abandonment fears.
Mm.
And that was just impacting to my life because I had, like I said, I've dealt with a lot of forgiveness, but I've only dealt with forgiveness while being a Christian, because when I wasn't a Christian, forgiveness was not even in my vocabulary. Mm. So, so then I learned about my fears of abandonment because my mother had left us at a young age, and that just probably rippled. It was not my fault for the affair. I know that, but God was working it on me.
Yeah.
Instead of me working on my husband, you know, during all this.
Right. So let me ask you this. Of everything you've been through.
Yes.
We got someone listening today and they're in the middle of all this same type of thing. One thing, condense it all down to one thing. What one thing have you learned through all this?
Seek God through everything.
That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it, Jennifer? All right. Thank you, Annette. Appreciate your call. Thank you, thank you, Annette, for sharing your story and being so vulnerable with us today. I appreciate it. Let me go to Candace, who's waiting also in Michigan. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
So I've had a lot of trauma, a lot of ways to not forgive, but through all of that, I've noticed a lot from others as well. And so mine, I'm just going to kind of explain what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so one big thing that I always say is that you can only love God as much as you hate your worst enemy. And also forgiving yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, how can his forgiveness be enough for you?
Yeah.
And when you're reliving trauma over and over, healing is, when you look back on it for healing, that's one. But when you keep reliving the trauma and you keep replaying it in your mind and not forgiving yourself or forgiving others for it, I feel like you just turn into a pillar of salt because you keep looking back. And Jesus said, forgive them for they don't know what they do. And that's because the enemy sees your light that you have, and they're just out to kill, steal, and destroy. So just remember that the people that you're out there to forgive, it's because they don't realize what they're doing. They're living in the world without God.
Yeah. Do you experience more freedom now than you did then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had so much happen in my life. I just... It's easier to just live in the moment for God instead of continuing to just live in trauma and just, continually trying to look back at it and not forgive. And it is, it's like some of the other people that have mentioned, it's a daily thing. It's a, because if I want to be forgiven, because I know that I screw up, I want to be forgiven when I screw up, other people should be forgiven as well.
That's so true. Listen, for you, Candace, you made a really important point. One of the things we know about anxiety, and you can add to it, anxiety to worry and fear, is one of the things we know psychologically is the further we get away from this moment in time, the probability of increasing anxiety and worry it goes up. What I mean by that is as you move into the past, the things that have occurred, that can create anxiety and worry and anger, right? But it also is true when you move too far into the future, because we don't have control over the future. We only have control over today, and we don't have any control over what's already happened. So the only thing we can do is be intentional in this moment today. That's why we talk about doing the next right one thing. We talk about setting goals in terms of what one thing could I do today that would help me become the kind of person that God wants me to be tomorrow. And we invest into our lives those things today that'll make a difference for tomorrow in our life. And forgiveness may be that, hey, every day I need to get up and forgive. Every day. Can't forgive tomorrow because we're not there yet. You got to forgive today. That next thought, the next time that name comes to your attention, that next time something occurs that sets off that switch from a trauma in your life or an experience in your life, deal with it right now in this moment. Talking about forgiveness, I'll be back in just a moment.
In our lives, we all have challenges and opportunities. In Dr. Randy's message, Winning and Losing at Life, you'll learn about two people in the Bible, Nehemiah and Jonah, and how they responded in different ways to challenges and opportunities in their lives, and how we can finish strong as winners who are obedient to Christ. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer. And to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And you know what? Thank you, Kurt, for reminding everyone of the phone number during West Coast business hours. If you call that number, 888-888-1717, that's our number. It gets you here in the studio, let you talk to Stephen. He's a nice guy. He'll screen the call. He's kind of the gatekeeper. If he doesn't like you, for whatever reason, you'll never see the light of day on the radio. Just be nice to Stephen. Usually he's having good days. He'll talk to you. But anyway, when you call, not just joking, when you call, you can also press number 2, bypass all of that, and go right talk to our staff upstairs and say, hey, I want to be a part of Intentional Living. How do I do that? Your monthly support makes a difference as long as you're able to do that. We appreciate it. You're making a difference. We want to send you our master class teaching and so on. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. We started with a tease in the program with Kendra. I want to close with hearing the rest of that call. Take a listen.
My husband and I have been married for 16 years.
fortunately, there hasn't been like a big, you know, event in our marriage that required forgiveness, like an affair or spending all the life savings, anything like that. But on a day-to-day basis, my husband found himself not able to forgive me. Therefore, it was building up resentment in him toward me. He was really seeing me as the enemy and resenting me. So it put a real wedge in our relationship together. He recently had decided to try an experiment of something that he had heard from a guest speaker that came to our church. And so he came to me and said, "Hun, I am going to start a new daily habit, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes every day." And let me tell you, it has produced a miracle in our marriage. Him being able to commit to doing that, but he is really focused and plowed through, and now he's developed a great habit doing it every day. And I have seen such an attitude shift in him when approaching our conflict. His attitude toward me, his tone, he's been able to forgive. He's been able to resolve unresolved issues. It's just brought a closeness and intimacy to our relationship that I've always wanted and I've always craved. And not only that, it's inspired me to do better. So now I'm picking up this habit, and I just think it's great. And so it's produced forgiveness, and we are doing better than ever.
Amen. Thank you, Kendra. You talk about a habit. You know, I think we need to develop some habits of hope. You know, habits of hope that we can bring home to our relationship, maybe some habits of forgiveness as well. And out of time for today's program. Listen, when we come back next time, we're going to be talking to parents we often refer to as hovering parents, over-controlling parents, helicopter parents, you know, the ones that kind of hover over the kids. Is that you? We'll pick that up coming up next time on Intentional Living. If you want to add into the discussion today, you have a comment about forgiveness God's done in your life, I hope you'll share it with us on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I want to give a really special thanks to our community here at Intentional Living, men and women from all over the country who pray for and financially support this ministry. Who are part of our masterclass teaching every month that we send out by email. If you're not a part of the community, come join us at theintentionallife.com. Thank you, Jennifer and Stephen, for your work today. I'm Dr. Randy, and we'll see you next time.